via the BBC Radio 3 website. Tomorrow night, The Hawthorn, in the essay at the same time, 10:45.
Free Thinking, Radio 3's Festival of Ideas, returns to Sage Gateshead this Friday for a weekend of inspiring debate, interviews and performance.
Illumination from some of our great guests.
If you like what you're about to hear, I have absolutely no idea whether you'll like what's on tomorrow.
Across the weekend, we're live from the banks of the River Tyne to bring you programmes exploring the theme Tearing Up the Rule.
I think we're actually becoming more risk-taking than
ever. I've spent my whole life sort of meditating on it.
You can trust me, you can trust a bearded man.
Do you want to ask us the request?
No, I don't.
No.
The Free Thinking Festival at Sage Gateshead. Be part of the discussion here on BBC Radio 3 or search online for Radio 3 Free Thinking.
I think this is the way we should be.
This is BBC Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's just after 11 this Monday night and time now for Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson.
Because we're not restricted to the limitations of jazz or blues or world music. Those whatever those names are, avant-garde, new music, perpetuation of great black music, ancient to the future.
The words on the calling card of one of the foundation organisations of contemporary music. 50 years ago, a group of young musicians from Chicago got together to provide a creative space for the cutting-edge music that they wanted to make. Together and individually, they would go on to push improvised music into whole new territories. Five decades on, many are still doing just that, and so tonight on Jazz on 3 we celebrate the AACM, the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. Great black music, ancient to future. Coming up on the show, we've archived recordings of some of the key figures who we've recorded on Jazz on 3 over the years, including Anthony Braxton, Leroy Jenkins, Wadada Leo Smith and Henry Threadgill. And I'm joined in the studio tonight by the British piano player and AACM devotee. I think I can say that, can't I, Alex?
I think that's fair.
Welcome to you, Alex Hawkins. Good to see you again. And Alex has been trawling through the Jazz on 3 archives and also his own personal record collection for some gems, and he's going to be sharing those with us a little later on. Firstly, though, proof that the AACM is still very much alive and kicking. Here's something brand new from one of its current members, cello player Tamika Reid and her quartet, and this is something called Samo Swing. Tonight on Jazz on 3, we're celebrating 50 years of AACM, looking back over the vast catalogue produced by artists associated with that organisation. But that's smack bang up to date. That's something brand new from a cello player called Tomika Reed, together with Mary Halvorsen on guitar, Jason Rebke on bass and Toma Fujiwara on drums. That's called Samo Swing. Alex, I know that's the first time you heard that, but you're going to be playing with some of these guys very soon.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm off to play with Tomika and Toma in a couple of days, so you can imagine I'm happy to hear a rhythm section grooving like that.
Before we spend the rest of the night enjoying the music of AACM, just to give you a very quick reminder that the ballot for tickets to our live show happening at Ronnie Scott's on Friday the 13th of November is open just until midnight tonight. If you'd like to join me on that night, it's the opening night of the London Jazz Festival. On stage at Ronnie's, we'll have Niels Petter Molvar, Lionel Lueke and Vula Viel, and another surprise artist. Then you have to email jazzon3@bbc.co.uk, put Ronnie Scott's in the subject title. You need to get in before the clock strikes 12. So the rest of the show dedicated to music recorded by some of the original members of the AACM in some of their more recent bands. Give us the basics. Founded 50 years ago in Chicago, the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. How did it come together? Why was it so important?
It was essentially a community-based organization in the south side of Chicago. It was founded by black musicians, and it was really, I think, in response to not having a forum to experiment with musical ideas, to rehearse and play original music. And it was something of a foreshadowing of the birth of lots of collectives which we're familiar with on the contemporary musical landscape.
We're going to be listening to some selections from Alex's record collection later on, so digging back a bit further into the archive. But we've got some recordings from the last 15 years or so of some artists who are very much associated with the AACM. And we thought we'd start with Henry Threadgill and a gig I remember very well, a fantastic gig from the London Jazz Festival back in 2011.
Yeah, I remember listening to this, and I think commenting on it with you, and I think the only thing really which sort of spoilt it in any tiny way for me was sitting there knowing I had to say something coherent about it afterwards. I mean, it was a really jaw-dropping thing, and the reaction of the in the Queen Elizabeth Hall was pretty special as well, actually. And I just remember in this gig he played flute for the first half of it, and he's a magnificent flute player, but when he picked up that alto, the sound was just really something very special.
Yeah, listen out for his entry on this track, actually, because I don't know why. I was listening to this the other day and it almost feels like you're in the middle of some kind of science fiction scene and all of a sudden a guy arrives with a kind of laser gun or something, because he just jumps out at you.
No,
it's an incredible sound,
yeah,
isn't it?
No nonsense. I mean, it's, right between the eyes.
This is called Sap, Henry Threadgill and Zuid, recorded at the Queen Elizabeth Hall back in 2011. Thank you.
Henry Greg Gill, who I knew in Chicago at that time, and hopefully still know. I haven't seen him for a long time, but Henry was a great influence in his gentleness and also his precision in terms of being a great musician. He knew his instrument, and he helped me to realize that, you know, to be an artist, you have to know your instrument. When you know your instrument, then you can be liberated from that shape and you can move into other things and do other things with it.
We heard Henry Threadgill and his group Zooid recorded for this program at the Queen Elizabeth Hall in 2011 and SAP. And then that was the Chicago-born playwright and author Bonnie Greer sharing her memories and thoughts on Henry Threadgill from her time in Chicago. And interesting, Alex, that the AACM had an influence beyond music.
Yeah, absolutely. They, as a community-based group, the arts far more generally, consciousness, you know, far more generally at that time was very important to them.
Well, Henry Threadgill is still very much active and making great music. His latest album, In For A Penny, In For A Pound, is out now on Pi Records.
During the time of the civil rights movement in the States, as you can recall, in 1965, Mulhall called and said that they were going to start organizations for principally the black musicians who were into the new music to have an avenue where they could present their art. Becoming African again.
You're listening to Jazz on 3 with me, Jez Nelson, and Alex Hawkins. We're celebrating 50 years of the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. That's an extract from a feature on the AACM we made on this programme back in 1999. Now, I think that's Don Moye, but we're not sure. It could be Don, or it could be Malachi Favours. We're not sure. Maybe someone, a listener with acute ears, will be able to tell us exactly who that was. My guest on Jazz on 3 tonight is Alex Hawkins, and we're going to be listening to some music from his collection in just a moment. But Alex, a couple of times it's come up in the programme already, the idea that, you know, it's not just about jazz. Give us some kind of context, the time of the formation of the AACM and why it would have been important to say, you know, we're not just about making jazz music.
Clearly, I mean, the 1960s in the US were a time of great change. And you know, these inner cities were big crucibles for creativity, and the sort of the establishment controlled, you know, modes of production, if you like, the orthodox clubs, the orthodox record labels weren't necessarily providing the creative musicians with the outlets that they might like for self-expression. You see these community-based organizations springing up amongst the musicians, and they're in a sense they're self-help organizations. They're saying, why do we need to go through the established channels? Let's create our own. And at the same time as doing that, let's give ourselves artistic freedom back.
Now, Alex, I know you're a bit of a collector, and we've asked you to do a difficult job, which is to pull out a few of your favourites from the AACM family. So where do we start?
The iconic figure, really, early on in the history of this organisation is probably Mulhall Richard Abrahams. He's a pianist, a composer. And I think when you consider how huge the personalities and the musical skills involved amongst many of the protagonists early on were, he must have been an incredible galvanizing figure to bring all these people together into concerted action. Many of the classic early recordings of the AACM were made for the Chicago-based Delmark label, which, you know, blues collectors will also be familiar with. And one of the classic early documents of the AACM is a Mulhall Richard Abrahams record called Things to Come from Those Now Gone. And this track is March of the Transients.
Thank you. Great solo there from Edwin Doherty as part of a quartet put together by one of the founders of the AACM, Muhal Richard Abrahams, actually from 40 years ago, so 10 years into the organisation. I know, Alex, you say it's, you know, possible to use AACM as a kind of way of describing a style, but if you could put your finger on a few things there which were sort of distinctive of what the organisation was all about or of the time, what would they be?
Well, I think one of the things we could point to is that in some respects, compared with other things we'll listen to here, it's relatively orthodox. You know, it's clearly very scored out, the arrangement at the start. There's regular time being played. And free music for the Chicagoans at this time means freedom to do whatever you like. And so hence, this post-bop language is a completely valid means of doing that. I think you can also look to the title of this album, actually, you know, Things to Come from Those Now Gone. And implicit in that is that recognition of the tradition. It's this view of, you know, it really helps to know where you've come from, to know where you're going. And that respect for the tradition, as well as this sort of searching into the unknown, is very characteristic of this group of musicians.
And certainly another group who very much embraced that whole sense of ancient to the future is the Art Ensemble of Chicago, in terms of the music they produced, in terms of the way they presented themselves and the message they gave to the world. In some ways, they're a group who are sort of almost synonymous with AACM. You know, why were they such an important group? And of course, they only stopped performing as a group just a few years ago.
I mean, you could put their popularity down to a lot of things. I mean, they were extraordinary musicians, you know, each and every one of them. I mean, we heard Bonnie Greer earlier talk about this idea of really mastering your horn so that you can, I suppose, transcend it in some way and get to your own true voice. One of the tenets of the AACM was they really encouraged multi-instrumentalism and transcending the sound of any one instrument to get to your true voice. And many of the early musicians had these elaborate percussion setups. We talked about Threadgill earlier. He had an instrument he called the hubcap phone, which was a sort of a gamelan-like instrument made of hubcaps. Roscoe Mitchell, it's worth looking online, actually, if you can find a picture from the session which produced a record by Roscoe called The Maze. You'll see, I think it's the RCA Studios in Chicago, filled, you know, a vast old-fashioned studio filled with every single percussion instrument you could possibly name. It's quite a sight.
So I had to pay my way through school, and I worked in a great blues club called Wise Fools in Chicago. Great, great club. And one night, you know, serving my drinks, these group of musicians came on, and they were painted in African masks, and they started playing, and it literally sounded like I had dropped my tray of drinks on the floor. I just didn't know what this was. People were getting up and walking out. And then, because I was there and I was working, I couldn't like flee with the handful of people who did. I started suddenly, gradually, to hear it. I heard the music. I heard what they were doing. It was profound for me because it liberated me from thinking of myself as one thing or another thing or another thing. That, you know, you could invent even music itself, you can invent sound itself, you have permission, and therefore you have permission to be more than whatever people said that you were. And it was profound, and it's influenced me for the rest of my life.
We heard the Art Ensemble of Chicago, Lester Bowie, Roscoe Mitchell, Joseph Jarman, Famadou, Don Moye and Malachi Favors, 1970, Chi Congo, and then Bonnie Greer talking about working in that club in Chicago. And I always remember the person who introduced me to the Art Ensemble of Chicago said he'd been to see this group, and before the show started, someone came on the stage and set up a child's slide, and the show had begun with them rolling ball bearings down the slide. And it's just this kind of drip, drip, and everything built up from there. And of course, Roscoe Mitchell still going strong. We heard him on this programme a couple of weeks ago, and we'll be hearing something from Joseph Jarman a little later on. My guest in the studio is the piano player and AACM lover, Alex Hawkins. We're going to move on now, Alex, from perhaps the group most associated with the AACM, the most famous, to someone lesser known in a sense.
Yeah, so I'd like to play something by Kalaparusha Morris McIntyre now. He made two really incredible records early on for Delmark. This is something that I've chosen from a record called Humility and the Light of the Creator. And I'd really, you know, recommend people seeking this out. It almost, for me, sometimes has something in common with some of the sort of Strata East records, maybe the sort of further out ones of that time. And when you talk to the older guys from the AACM who were around at this time, they'll all say that Kalaparusha, you know, he was the guy on saxophone. And you can hear it. He's got this huge blustery sound, which is right out of that sort of Chicago tradition of maybe Gene Ammons and so forth. There is a nice story that once when Miles was looking around for his next guy, they had a gig in Chicago, and he invited Kalaparusha, and for whatever reason took against Kalaparusha, and during his first solo actually called the band off stage and just left him there, which is cold by anyone's standards. I'm not sure if that's true, by the way, but I mean, I sort of hope it isn't.
Don't let it get in the way of a good story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know. But anyway, so back to Kalaparusha's own music. This is a track whose name is unpronounceable until you reverse it, and then you realize that it's Back Home, and that again, you know, gives you some clues to the you know, the traditional element of this music.
Great choice from Alex Hawkins, Kalaparusha, Morris McIntyre, and let's try and say it, Kakab Emoa, which is Back Home, Backwards, more ancient to the future references from an album called Humility in the Light of the Creator, Delmark Records, 1969. Malachi Favors on that, one of two bass players and a couple of drummers on there as well. You're listening to Jazz on Three with me, Jez Nelson, and Alex Hawkins. We're celebrating 50 years of the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. Well, we're going to have more live music from AACM members coming up a little later on. We've already heard Henry Threadgill coming up with music from Anthony Braxton, Leroy Jenkins and Wadada Leo Smith. But we're going to have Alex's last choice now from his record collection. And this again shows the sort of diversity of the movement.
Yeah, so this is something from a real favourite of mine, Amina Claudine Myers. She's a pianist, an organist and a singer who's really steeped in the gospel tradition. And I would say, you know, seek out anything that she's on. There's a fantastic record called Song for Mother E, which is features her alongside Faronak Laff, you know, a brilliant, brilliant drummer. And this is a track called Dirty No Good as Blues from a record called Amina Claudine Myers Salutes Bessie Smith. It's interesting. I mean, it's atypical in many respects because one of the major tenets, again, of the AACM was to perform original music. And this was a record on which Amina performed music associated with Bessie Smith. But I don't feel like I need any justification for this track. I just think it's just beautiful. And so here we go. This is Dirty No Good as Blues.
Have you ever been in love with a man that was no good? Have you ever been in love with a man that was no good? You did for him, he never understood. The meanest things he would say would thrill you through and through. The meanest things he would say would thrill you through and through. And there wasn't nothing too dirty for that man to do. He'll treat you nice and kind until he wins your heart and hand. Treat you nice and kind till he wins your heart and hand. Then he'll get so cruel that man you could not stand.
Amina Claudine Myers and Dirty No Good as Blues from Amina Claudine Myers Salutes Bessie Smith on Leo Records in 1988. Alex, thank you for those suggestions. And I think you're going to kind of do an extended playlist on your website, right?
Yeah, exactly. Choosing tracks for this was a bit like being asked to choose a favourite sibling. So I wasn't able to live with myself. So I'm having to write a blog post to sort of assuage some of the guilt. But yeah, I'm going to put sort of a list of one artist, one track type things on there that people can, you know, follow through some links and find out some more of this great music.
All right, well, we look forward to seeing that. We'll put a link to Alex's site on the Jazz on 3 website. And if you have your favourites from the AACM back catalogue, if you like, then email us jazzon3@bbc.co.uk, or you can tweet at BBC Jazz on 3. We're going to go back to the live recordings made for this programme over the last 15 years or so now, Alex, and I guess now to one of the major characters of AACM, although I don't know whether he would still associate himself strictly with the organisation. Certainly he had his roots in it. Anthony Braxton, one of the major figures of avant-garde music.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, Braxton has really transcended the organization and in many ways. But he, of course, he himself would acknowledge what an important formative influence it was on him. And we're going to play a track from a gig which sort of is personally sort of incredibly important to me, because this really blew my mind at a very sort of formative stage for me. What Bonnie Greer said earlier about it sounding like she dropped her drinks is something that I find a lot when I discover new music from really creative musicians. Is sometimes you don't even like it, you just don't get it, and yet you sense there's something there. And when I heard this gig, it sort of changed the whole game for me in many respects. It was something of a Rosetta Stone to understand how my love of the tradition, how that could be reconciled with this desire to make forward-looking music. For example, I mean, listening to Taylor Ho Bynum's Cornet in this, you know, I heard how you would pay homage to these early Ellington trumpeters. The true homage to them was to put them through this modernist prism. There was this vast web of ideas, and this band was speaking a language and having this conversation, which at the same time was completely alien, but somehow completely friendly and accessible. And this was performed to a full Royal Festival Hall. And again, it was one of those very special gig-going experiences where there was just this incredible electricity in the room.
Well, that was Alex 11 years ago, sitting at the Royal Festival Hall. So maybe it's you now. Maybe you won't at first understand this music, but there'll be something in it for you. This is Anthony Braxton with a young group at the time of New York musicians, Mary Hal Vorson on guitar, Taylor Ho Bynum on cornet, Chris Dahlgren on bass, and Satoshi Takeshi on percussion.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pivotal moment in the gig-going life of my guest tonight, Alex Hawkins. Anthony Braxton recorded in 2004 at the Royal Festival Hall, and a piece called Composition 343. And if that's piqued your interest, if you're still a little baffled, as Alex was on that night, well, Alex took part in our Five Reasons Not to Be Scared of Anthony Braxton, a feature that we made earlier this year to mark his 70th birthday, and that's still available on the Radio 3 website. Just wanted to mention that one of the leaders of the British avant-garde scene, Keith Tippett, is at the Vortex in London with his octet tomorrow night, so that's Tuesday night, performing the suite that we recorded in session for this programme earlier this year. Later this month, the London Jazz Festival will be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the AACM with a series of events including panel discussions, workshops, and a concert led by the British multi-instrumentalist Orphy Robinson. And here's Orphy with a few words on the importance of the AACM to him.
My first experience of the AACM was the Arts Ensemble of Chicago. I saw them in Warsaw. I was there with Courtney Pine, and this was in the early 80s. We were doing the, you know, the sort of bebop straight ahead type thing, dressed up in suits, you know, the whole sort of thing, the estate agent suits and all of that. And then all of a sudden you see these guys, these black men, with paint on their faces, and I was just completely like, well, how come I didn't know about this? What is this? Where is this from? You know, I've got to know more about this. I then started to think more of, I suppose, improvisation was a 360 thing. So rather than just seeing in one area, this is a language that's being used. In this particular song, it was about there are many different languages and there are languages that you can create yourself. It kind of joined the dots in a really interesting way for me. It meant that the world, the sort of music from around the world that I was into, could be pulled into what I was doing. Lester Bowie had then, I'd bumped into him quite a few times. I'd harboured, you know, ambitions of one day maybe been in some project or something that he was involved with, but that finally transpired in the last concert that he played in England, and that was through my playing with Lewis Mahola. With the AACM, there was the ancient to the future, the African, going back into the diaspora of all those musical strands. And then on this stage, there are all these musicians from South Africa, from Nigeria, from Jamaica, from England, from, you know, everywhere. And there was really much a tapping into that diaspora. But we were now with somebody who'd been an exponent of that for a very, very long time. We had a very good day. And some really lovely music, I think, was created. I'd love to hear that music again. I know it was recorded or something, and that'd be fantastic to hear that. It was good fun.
Well, we recorded it, and we're going to play a bit of it on the...
Oh, I'd love to, yes. Great. I'm going to be tuning in. We'll be right back.
Bishop Tutu said.
Thoughts of Orphy Robinson, followed by a concert that he appeared in 1998 at the Queen Elizabeth Hall. Orphy playing marimba, Steve Beresford bass guitar, Francine Luce on vocals, Louis Maholo and the African Drum Orchestra featuring special guest Lester Bowie. And Alex Hawkins is my guest on Jazz on 3 tonight. We're celebrating 50 years of the AACM. And I guess in a sense, I don't know how often they'd work together, but that was a coming together of two great movements, in a sense, wasn't it? The AACM, the Art Ensemble of Chicago, and then Lewis representing the fantastic sort of South African scene.
Yeah, and actually one of the things which is great about the AACM artists is that, you know, there are so many great collaborations. They were so open-minded that I think their languages were really ripe for, you know, joining in with other people. So, you know, if you scour the recorded evidence, there are just fantastic things all over the place, and that's just a great example of it.
Actually, sadly, turned out to be Lester Bowie's final concert in the UK, as he died not long after that. Before we move on, where do you stand? Because for some reason, we never say David Bowie, but people seem to say Lester Bowie sometimes and Lester Bowie on other times. Where do you stand on that?
Bowie knife, I guess. I'm not sure. I'm going to go with the announcers from all those live gigs. I'm throwing my hat in the ring with Bowie, definitely.
You're going with Bowie. Orphy was with Bowie, so we found a divide there. Okay, well we're going to hear something else now that you've chosen, Alex, in tribute to Lester Bowie stroke Bowie.
Yeah, so this is a really great gig, actually. I was really excited when you sent me this to listen to the whole show, because I hadn't heard this, but one of my favourite AACM musicians is the great Leroy Jenkins, violinist. And this is a sort of an expanded version of the Equal Interest Trio, which is a trio comprising Jenkins, the great Joseph Jarman, who was, of course, a member of the Art Ensemble, and Myra Melford on piano. And this was a sort of a nonette version, augmented by British musicians. And it's a really kind of magical track. Scattered throughout the AACM catalogues are just occasionally just very, very beautiful pieces. Leroy Jenkins writes many tunes in this vein. There's a beautiful one called Albert Ayler, His Life Was Too Short, from a record on Black Saint. And actually, this for me really fits in this tradition. It's a Joseph Jarman tune, and it just oscillates for 15, 16, 17 minutes around these two chords, and it's just very beautiful in its own way. So I wanted to smuggle this one into the program too.
This is called Lester B, The Voice.
Thank you.
Gorgeous piece chosen by Alex Hawkins, my guest tonight, from 1999, recorded for this programme. Lester B, The Voice by the Equal Interest Nonet. That's almost it for this week's programme. We have one more gem of a piece of music to finish off with in just a second, though. Just time to let you know that Noel Scott, best known as the alto player with the Sun Ra Orchestra, he has a new quartet together. They're going to be playing at the 100 Club in London this coming Thursday. I know Shaney Forbes, the drummer, is in that group, amongst others. That's well worth checking out. And Liam Noble is playing at the Cube in Derby. You can listen to Liam's wonderful solo piano performance that was recorded for this programme. It's still up on the Radio 3 website, well worth having a listen to that. Next week on the programme, we've a bumper edition rounding up some new releases, including music from Lionel Lueke, Dave Douglas, and some selections from the wilder ends of the music, courtesy of my guest Marcus O'Dea. Plus, I'm going to be playing a track to mark the passing of one of my all-time favourite singers, Mark Murphy, who died late last month, sadly. Alex, thank you so much for being my guest tonight.
Oh, not at all. Thanks for asking
and me. Sharing your love of the AACM. Don't forget, Alex is going to be doing an extended playlist of music from the AACM back catalogue. You'll find a link to that on the Jazz on 3 website. We're going to close with some music from Wadada Leo Smith. Why did you go for this?
Yeah, Wadada is kind of a remarkable musician. I had the great fortune to work with him for a week or so a few years back. And one night we had a concert of smaller groups, and one of the things that he did as part of that was to play solo. And it was this magical concert experience. We were sitting very close to him, and what's magical about his music when he plays solo is his use of silence. And he played this sequence of pieces where there were pauses during pieces which lasted longer than gaps between pieces, and it sort of altered the perception of time. And so I was excited to see in the archives that we have this track, which was recorded in a break in a larger group session at Abbey Road. So, you know, it sounds beautiful.
Well, thank you very much, Alex. AACM, Ancient to the Future. Let's hope we'll be celebrating another 50 years in 2065. And we'll leave you with Wodada Leo Smith, recorded for this programme back in 2009, and Green Trumpet. Good night. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Through the Night on BBC Radio 3. I'm Katrina Young and it's a Swiss theme to start with tonight, beginning with a visit to Lugano on the Swiss-Italian border to hear their resident ensemble, called unsurprisingly the Swiss-Italian Orchestra, in a concert they gave in their home city in February 2015, which turned out to be the year of their 80th anniversary. They were founded in 1935 and since then they've played a huge role in the musical life of the whole area. We catch up with them in a programme of Hindemith and Brahms, and to begin with a little symphony, Kleine Sinfonie, by one of the brightest of Arnold Schoenberg's pupils in Vienna, Hans Eisler.